Well, good morning again. What a very precious day this is. Every day in the Lord Jesus is full of grace and reality. But today is one of those sacred days of seeing another man set in the office of an elder, a pastor. So as we begin, let me read to you. You can turn if you want, but I want to read to you just a few passages, and then we'll lead up to the key text for today. Jeremiah 3:15. God promised in the days of old to give pastors, elders, for His flock. And Jeremiah spoke to this. Let me read it to you. Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Past, present, and future. God's promise to give elders and pastors. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. So God's promise is first. The second theme is God's calling. Men don't make themselves pastors or elders. God does it. No man would ever feel worthy or could ever accomplish such a thing. But God has purposed it. The Lord Jesus Christ has purposed it for His church. So turn to there on Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. The calling of pastors. It says, and He, previous context would be in Christ, Christ gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. God calls men to serve His flock. And then our text for the day, Acts 20, verse 28. This is the scene, as you may remember, the Apostle Paul having his last minutes, his last time with the Ephesian elders before he would set sail and he would never see him again, though he's with them today. Those very men that he charged and he commanded and he equipped, he would never see, they wept, but these are just a few of the words that he spoke to them out of Acts 20, verse 28. He charges them. He commands them. He says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Amen. May God richly bless His word and His people today. Let me pray briefly. Father, thank You that from the beginning of the gathering of Your people, You've had pastors and shepherds and elders. Thank You, Lord, that today we can look to You, that this is what You have ordained, and You will give Your servant much grace. You will set him apart. You will make him Christ's man. Thank You, Lord, for the purpose of God in His church, that You are caring for us, that we have one great chief shepherd over us, Christ. And so today, all that we do is to be done unto You. We do it with faith and obedience and with joy. Have this time, have this ordination, have this man for the kingdom of Your dear Son. Thank You, Lord. Amen. It is a special and a historic day for us here at the church. This is only the fourth time in the history of this church, 18 plus years, that we've had an ordination. The first one is in December of 2002. The next one was in February of 2013. And then back in January of 2015 is when Jeff, the most recent elder, was put in the office to serve as an elder, as a pastor. And as it's come to this point, as we have prayed, us, you, the church, as we have prayed and sought God's will, we believe clearly that God has prepared and called Brother Alan Popp to serve as an elder here at Providence Chapel, to serve His church, Christ's church, His people. Now, if you want to track how this came about, we don't have an overly impressive recruitment plan. For those who know the backstory, right? A backstory on this would be that Tommy Price was with Legia at the park years ago. She ran into her at the park out at Providence, as I understand it. And so there was a quick acquaintance there. And in the will of God, that changed from that moment, if you go through the months and now the years, where they became connected here in the church. And Alan was doing his studies in Dallas, his seminary studies. But it began as just the beginning of a friendship between two wives in the park. And yet, God's tapestry of leading his people and leading his servants to his kingdom labor is undeniable. As we've watched that dear man, this dear man and the family, what a privilege it is to have him here with us. And for now, this ordination time to serve Christ. It's Alan's entering into the fullness of serving the Lord Jesus Christ and you, Christ's people. So on behalf of the four elders, it's my great joy to get to speak briefly today. I'll try to be succinct today. I know, as you do, that there's a monumental responsibility that he takes on. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing. It's a glorious thing. It's a divine appointment. And so when I speak on this today, I'll touch on some of these realities. So I felt as I went back and looked some of the key text in the New Testament, I felt like Paul's parting words to the Ephesian elders would be fitting for this day. Because they're full of emotion, they're full of love that Paul was giving to those men, full of equipping them and preparing them, that there would be battles to fight, there would be people to care for, and there would be those to watch for and feed and bring them along. And so I would like to use that text today as we zero in on Acts 20, verse 28. Brother Alan, let these truths fill your heart with devotion and love for serving Christ's dear flock. Let them just come like a great waterfall today, these truths. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let these truths remind you of the great blessing of having elders that give their lives for you. Do not count it as a small thing. Count it as a big, gracious, God-given thing to have elders that care for you. I've said this through the years. I've had elders over me. I still do. He'll be a new elder to help shepherd me. And what a gift it is of our great Savior to give us men who care for us and guard us. So let's go to the text, and I'll move through this quickly. After I share today, we'll sing, and then Brother Alan's going to get to come up and share some before the ordination. Notice five things that Paul mentions here in verse 28. At least five things I want to draw from. In a way, this is Philip and Alan talking, or in a sense, the elders here sharing with Alan. But it just happens to be that 150 or 200 of you are here too. And so in the full application of this, you need to be hearing as sheep, as followers of Christ, what these duties and responsibilities for him or any elder are and what your responsibilities are in receiving the care, the love, the shepherding of an elder. Let this be a fresh reminder to you. So it is both ways. Number one, Paul says, take heed, therefore, unto yourself. Can't go any further until we get this one. The ESV says, pay careful attention to yourself. I love the NASB for those few of you who may have it today. Be on guard for yourself. That sounds pretty strong, doesn't it? That does not sound like a casual thing. Brother Alan, the first thing you must do, and those of us laboring as elders must do, is you must guard yourself. You must possess yourself in Christ Jesus in a certain way. This is a beautiful, magnificent truth, so needed in every day for every pastor in every place. It actually means to keep watching for yourself. Alan is to look after Alan. Now, I understand that in the grace of the Holy Spirit, it's Christ that keeps him, or you, or any of us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's the reality of the Holy Spirit. But the command of Paul to these elders and to the elders today, any elder, is watch yourself. Be careful and watch yourself. Beloved, the reality of this for him and to us is so practical. It's so necessary to take this seriously. Alan must stay healthy in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to keep the saints healthy in the Lord Jesus Christ. People that are sick, people that are frail, people that are downcast and beaten down are getting sifted. They're not much help to others, right? They're not. You must learn to possess yourself and guard yourself and keep yourself. There's a lot of things out there that could come and that can and will come against you, and you have to possess yourself unto Christ. I had this picture hit me the other day. Those of you who fly on airplanes, some of you have been on them a lot. And I've been on them a lot over the years. And they're trying to tell you all these things to do as you're getting ready to take off. And what do they tell you when that, if that oxygen mask comes down and you're about to take off and you're up in the air one day, or you know what I'm getting at, and that emergency procedure had to be called upon, what do they tell you to do with that mask? You put yours on before you do anything for anybody else, children, aged parents, or whatever it may be. The picture is there. Alan, any elder, we must care for ourselves. We must keep ourselves in the love of Christ, in His truth, in His ways. Otherwise, we can't help others. Huge. Guarding yourself, beloved brother, will include these areas. Keeping your doctrine, your truth. There's a lot of books out there that are no need for anybody to read. There's a lot of heretics and liberal theologians and men-centered ideas, man-centered ideas. You need to guard your pursuit of holiness. And I'm speaking to Philip here, and I'm speaking to Lee and Jeff and Mac and any man that labors in these ways as an elder. Guard yourself. Guard your purity. Guard your moral purity. Be devoted, fully devoted to your dear bride and your wife and your family, and give yourself there. Drink from your fountain. Be Christ's man to them, and walk and guard yourself. Your teaching, be careful or be on guard about how you possess yourself in teaching, proportioning the truth, giving you the truth, right? That's what we need to be about, is to rightly divide the word of truth. And lastly, brother, another area to be guarded in is your interaction with the world. We are, as we've been looking at in Colossians recently, we are interacting with the world every day at some level. Seeing, talking, being around, they're watching your life, they're watching you. And yet, those moments are big in the economy of God. Watch yourself, keep yourself around others, let the gospel shine through. Walk humbly, do justly, be Christ's man, and keep yourself. So be on guard, possess yourself in Christ Jesus. That's first, it's foundational. You have to stay strong in Him. We must press on in Him. Second, take heed then to all the flock. Saints, I must remind you, that means you're going to be watched for. You're going to be cared for. That's a part of being in the body of Jesus Christ. What a privilege to be together, that it's corporate, that it's family, that as Lee said to the young people the other night, it's not solo Christianity. We have friends of the faith, and He's to watch for you and care for you. It says to take heed, same language. Be on guard for the flock. Pay careful attention to the flock. You're keeping yourself and you're keeping the flock. Sometimes, beloved, the realities of these things, you have no idea what an elder, a man in your life can help prevent the wrong turn, the wrong book, the wrong association, the wrong career change, perhaps. Not that we would want to overly try to manage you, but to minister grace to you, that your hearts would be ready, and that when Alan speaks and when he's sharing and he's pastoring, that he's doing it as a part of guarding the flock. What's the main thought here to take heed? Make sure the sheep are doing okay. That's the heartbeat of it right there. If the first part is watching for yourself, that you're strong in Christ Jesus, then the second part of that is that you want to make sure they are strong in Christ Jesus. You want to guard them from things that could harm them. There's strange, bizarre things out there, teachings. all kinds of recycled ideologies, worldviews, mystical, spiritual melting pots everywhere. And you want to take heed. You want to watch for them. You laboring, us laboring together. You have to guard them. You have to guard brother, sister, young and old, everyone. You have to encourage them and guard them against worldliness, the things of the world that are dangerous. They were true in the Colossians' day, true in the Apostle Paul's day, in these letters he's writing. And they're true in our day. Dangerous things. Oh, beloved sheep, listen and be helped. Let him help you. He already helps you. He already is doing this. He does it for me. And he must do it as a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. Take heed to when those are drifting. We'll use that phrase. Nobody get alarmed by this, but sometimes in our elders' meetings, in our trying to think and pray towards y'all's needs and the different ones, sometimes the phrase will come up, so-and-so seems to be drifting. We don't mean that in a favorable light. We mean it, it's that we're cautious, we're concerned, drifting out. You don't let your children drift out in the street. You don't want to have your teenagers drift out into the world of yuck. Why would we want you to drift anywhere? And that brother is responsible to keep you from drifting. Let him speak into your lives. Let him draw you into the things that you need. Christ. So real. Beloved, this is about monitoring, looking after, and taking heed here, protecting you. Sometimes there may be a single man that Alan will be speaking to you, and he may be giving you words of wisdom that because something's around the corner, and you try to receive it as from the Lord. It could be a couple, maybe things you're going through, or a parenting issue, or a financial issue, or a health issue, issue with extended family, whatever. Let him speak the truth into your life. To take heed to your lives, your family, your needs. And yes, dear brother, it means being sensitive to the saints, being sensitive or really clued in to their needs so that they're stable and that they're healthy. What other motive could there be than to want to just care for Jesus Christ's people? I mean, we're not even going to talk about money and power and all the other things and books and empires. This is about serving the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. And that's what it's about, to love him and follow him. What a calling. This is far greater in the eternal scheme of things than the next Supreme Court justice that may be put in their place. Listen to what I said. That would stagger and anger hundreds of thousands of people, but it's true. We are watching for your souls. Those are big responsibilities, men and women in places of law and defending or representing the clarity of law. But this is about watching for the souls of men. Wow. You're talking big, amazing things that you're called to. So take heed to yourself and take heed to all the flock, all of them. We feel so spread thin, beloved, because we want to care for all of you. Number three, to oversee, to be an overseer. Take heed has this view of guarding, protecting, making sure they're in the right place, they're stable, they're going on in Christ Jesus. This next one, the overseer, the main thought of this is, are they progressing? You're looking at, are they advancing? That's what we do with our children, right? You want them advancing. You want them growing along in their physical growth and in their mental growth and in their emotional stability. You want to bring them along. The picture is bringing you along to oversee the flock. It has this imagery of being a shepherd, doesn't it? It's really, even though Paul's vocation was not shepherding, he knew and saw this his whole life. Shepherding sheep. I won't get into the details. Sheep are not real smart. So most of you know that. But I tell you what, they'll follow a faithful shepherd. I mean, they will. Jesus used this language, did he not? He's called the chief shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And so in a way, as a servant of the Most High, Alan will be an overseer. He will be a shepherd, beloved, that is trying to bring you along, advance you along, making sure that where you're going is progressing. You get this really beautiful picture, actually, that the flock is being led into good things. They're being kept from dangers, and they're being led to nourishment, protection, or whatever the shepherd is doing with his flock at that time. Keep in mind, the picture is not a man driving his cattle. It's not what it is. Nobody's cracking a whip. Nobody's prodding anybody. Sheep are following. The shepherd is bringing them along. The picture is quite appropriate for what we're talking about here with Christ and his people. The shepherd leads. And therefore, this shepherding, this guiding them, bringing them along, making sure they're progressing, is done with love and care and concern. Sometimes, beloved, y'all share things. We have home visits, and sometimes things come up, or here at the lunch table, or we visit in the hallways, or we have extended time, and the things are heavy. They're hard. And the way that Alan or any of the other elders speak into your life has to be done in a way that there's a loving care to bring you through it, to see you through it. Again, let me say, it's Christ in us that's doing it. But there's a real labor. We're about living in Him, laboring unto Him. So be an overseer. Saints, let Him be one of the wonderful men in your life as an overseer. Number four, to feed the church of God. Any of these I could stop and compare to the dangers of our day where there's so many things that get propped up in the name of a church, but this one here, to feed the church of God, not entertain them, not advance them in their social knowledge, not try to play games with them, not try to distract them from understanding the Scriptures, but to camp out on feeding them God's Word. That is first and foremost, central. Let me say that. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the only thing, but it's so primary to shepherding the flock, feeding the church of God. Peter said it in his epistle. Make sure, brother, that they're being fed. They're being fed the right things. We try to be sensitive together, and Alan will come into this. What is the need of the saints at this given time? Beloved, we take the men's times and the women's times and all those very seriously. What's in season for you, corporately and individually? What would most help you on? Mac helped me with this as a very young man. Begin to tell me what books I should read and why, and trying to look into my life, where I was, what would help me, what would advance me along. And we try to do that in your life, again, corporately and individually. But are you being fed? He's one of the men that in the absolute providence of God, God's put him in your life to feed you in the truth. Do not ever think there's a disproportionate weight of who you listen to or don't listen to. You have to receive all that God gives you. And I think you do. But be reminded in that. There is no small feeding. Jeff was teaching today, or if there's preaching, or if there's exhortations given, the Wednesday night prayer, those short devotions that are given, let those be food for you. I'm excited to have Alan doing more of those. I might sit over here by Joel. Start listening when Alan gets to preach and teach in the coming days. So it has this picture of spiritual nourishment. And the chief way to do that is just love this book and speak this book to the saints. Give them Christ Jesus and give them His Word. Let them love the Bible. Saints, we don't, as John Piper said, why would we try to entertain you? The world's wasting countless billions of dollars doing that kind of stuff. We're here to teach you in the faith. We're to grow in grace together. We're to receive from each other. So the Word of God is what Alan is to feed you in. And it's both in preaching and teaching, exhortations, a small statement, sitting here or standing in the lunch line. Listen, be receptive. And it is both corporate in the called meetings and at the individual level. Just look back a few verses, Acts 20:20. What did Paul say about his ministry to them? He said, I didn't keep anything back from you. Nothing that I kept back, nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and I have taught you publicly and from house to house. There it is. Saints, the home visits with you are such a primary way to care for you. You know this. It's our desire to continue this. The list gets longer. Mr. Dodd keeps keeping it on one page. I think he's going to have to get the font size smaller and smaller because we want to be with you. Oftentimes when I'm leaving the house, even if I was leaving to run an errand, one of the kids will say, "You going to do a home visit?" Because they connect. That's a part of what shepherds do. That's what the Lord Jesus does with his people. Look at his life in the Gospels. Look at what he did with his men and with those that he loved. He went to be with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. He went into homes. He went with people. He taught them. He sat with them. He broke bread with them. And that's what you'll be doing. He already is doing these things. But now it'll be in a new and special way that will increase. So the teaching and preaching will be here and at the individual level. And lastly, fifth, I said I'm going to move quickly. Paul says to you and to the Ephesian elders in that moment and to every shepherd and elder ever, remember they are Christ's dear flock. Years ago I said to Mac, I said, you know what? I don't like this statement. You know, that's the church, that's Bob Jennings' church. Or that, you know, that's so-and-so's church. That's Bill McLeod, that's his church. And I used to struggle with the language of that. No man has ever had his own church. It's an oxymoron. It's incorrect. We know what that means, but it's the church of Jesus Christ, which he purchased with his own precious blood. And brother, this will be so good for you as it is us to be reminded over and over again that he has redeemed them, he's purchased them, he loves them with an everlasting love. How could we ever keep you and help you along, ultimately? We don't have it in us. We're cast upon him too. Totally dependent upon him. The Lord Jesus redeemed you. He keeps you. He washes you. He builds you up, and he does it through his under-shepherds, these men that are laboring. Alan will labor in this. But you're only serving temporarily. Only temporarily. Because they're his precious flock. There have been a few moments in time in this gathering where I used to sit up here a lot, and y'all come in and we begin this worship and this time together, and a few special moments Mac has walked by and leaned over and said to me, "Christ has his church. Look what he builds." Other times we've looked at each other and said, "We're going on. He's going to take us home to glory," whenever that is. But this is his church. Plan A is Christ building his church. Plan B is Christ building his church. It's his church. And so, Brother Alan, keep that in your heart and mind, because you're going to have days. You're going to have days where you feel weak and ineffective. You're going to have days where you feel like, I do this. Krista sees this on me, where I sometimes go home after preaching or sharing, and I think, oh, why did I say that? That didn't help anybody. That wasn't necessary. Come on, Philip. And I feel weak. I feel ineffective. You're going to feel that. It's going to be real. But you've got to remember, it's Jesus Christ's church. He loves them. He has them. And you can just trust him. You can give it to him. You're going to drive home from pastoral visits. You're going to think, I don't think I was any help at all. I might have made it more confusing for him. Sometimes you feel that way, and it's not a great feeling to go home thinking you haven't helped somebody. But keep in mind as you pillow your head, dear brother, it is the Lord Jesus' people. He loves them. He keeps them. So you just keep pastoring. You keep loving them and pastoring them and give all that you have in season and out of season when you're feeling weak and frail, but you keep going because Christ keeps his flock. It's his people for his glory, for his namesake. Amen. We love you, brother. We rejoice this day has come in his will. Amen.